Yeah, well, it's just going to have to do, because it's the news, according to me. And the show must go on, even though half the time there's not a show, to apologize. It is Monday morning, April 8th, 10 o'clock, 10:06 a.m., actually, to be more precise. Just turned 10:06. I am your host with the news, according to me, 2024, Monday, April 8th. The big eclipse day. I have to be outside a little bit here to watch the eclipse. It doesn't really pass over me here where I'm at, but it will be, it'll give the sky a little creepy look. That's what it'll do from here. It passed not too far from here one time. The last time it passed over was fairly close. And it's the one 7 years ago. And it was I went up in an airplane, took my wife up in an airplane, said, hey, let's go grab an airplane. We're going to go up and watch the eclipse from the sky. See what, you know, that way you can kind of, I was kind of hoping we could see the actual defining line on the earth a little bit better than we did. It wasn't able to see it, but it did turn kind of creepy, like dusk, middle of the day dusk kind of feel to it. That's all we got to see, really. It was kind of a creepy color sky. It's perfectly clear sky, but it was, well, not perfectly clear. It was just enough haze that you couldn't really see the defining line of where the actual eclipse went, you know, flashing across the ground. But it was, you know, nonetheless, it was fun. It was, went up, did that, went back and landed. Yeah, there you go. Up there for about 30 minutes. So I'm not going to do that today. It's too far away, first of all. And secondly, I happen to be home today. The one day I get to be home, and I got to go to Dallas for a while. Come back from Dallas, I think on Sunday or Monday sometime, a week from today. I head out to Dallas tomorrow, and probably will be a show tomorrow morning. I'm planning to have a show tomorrow morning. And I'd like to have some audio, because I want to talk about something very, very quickly today. I'm not going to have a long show today, but I do appreciate it. I have to say, there must be a kind of there's a baseline set of listeners to this show. It seems that there's, and I appreciate that, because that's kind of a rock solid knowing that somebody's out there that's always going to click on this thing, that they're actually looking forward to hearing my podcast, which is very encouraging to me, first of all, and I'm very humbled by that. It's kind of surprised, actually. It's not just random clicks, because there's always this baseline of people that seem to be watching, listening to the podcast. If you're watching it, you're probably pretty bored because you're just looking at a picture. At least at this point. Hopefully things change after this. Now, when I get through this next session, following this next year of my contract here with this company that I'm working with now, I have this summer I'm going to have a lot more time, theoretically. And I'm planning to put myself through some interesting additions to things I'm doing, hoping that I can actually pull this off. There's one thing about life, you know, this, all right, I'm going to go off on a side rant here, apparently, because I can just feel it coming on. The important thing that you need to know is what's in my cup. I have this different chai. I apparently can't find the chai that I normally get. If they were sold out. And so I've got this chai, this kind of a different thing, and comes in a different package, and it's supposedly a different mix, and it's got a little bit of a spice to it that I don't like. Chai is I'm a very picky chai drinker. I can drink Starbucks chai. It kind of tastes a little, it has kind of a cardboard taste to it, and has a certain kind of spice that's not too overwhelming. It's not too bad, but it's just kind of a bland, kind of cardboardy taste. The chai I normally drink is very creamy. I kind of like that creaminess. Not very spicy, just more cream than spice. So, and this has more of a spicy, kind of an Oregon chai flavor, but it's powdered, but it's got more of an Oregon flavor. Oregon chai typically is very spicy. Now, if you like that, it's too much for me. I don't mind the taste, but it's too much. I can take the first couple, you know, drink sips are good, and then it's just too much. This has a little bit of that kind of twinge to it. And of course, I did put some creamer in it, some almond joy creamer. But it just isn't. It just isn't quite right. And I don't. So I've got this backup sweet tea here. That's it's a combination of Chick-fil-A sweet tea, and I think there might be a little bit of some other kind of tea in there. But it's not super sweet. It's a half of the drink there is a 50-50 sweet tea mix from I guess it was on the menu at the Chick-fil-A we went to over the weekend. So we were at a conference this last week that was very good. I got to meet Jonathan Kahn, actually. He's a fascinating guy. I just and I'm so amazed at some of the church leaders out there that have no idea about anything in the Jewish faith. I just am. Sometimes I'm shocked and amazed at these people. They have doctorate degrees. They have all kinds of degrees. Very educated, very popular, very pivotal people, I should say. I don't know how to say it. Very, very influential people in the Christian world. And I'm shocked and amazed at how little they know about the roots of our faith, the roots, the foundations of our faith. I'm not talking about the foundations of our religion. It's a very different thing. You can know all about your church history, your denomination, the doctrines, the things that they profess. I recently, there's a lot of people out there on the internet that are very negative towards some of the movements that are going on right now in Bible land. Some of the folks that are actually moving and things are happening and there's growth, and that doesn't always mean that think that they're right. But I'm amazed at the people who will sit in their basement on their computers and criticize people who are actually getting things done. And that doesn't mean that just because they're getting things done that they're in the right. There are huge movements that are cultic. They're definitely cults and definitely evil. Just evil. So it doesn't always mean that they're right just because they're successful. However, when there's obviously things God is doing through, sometimes, it's just obvious. And yet these people sit back and say, well, this person's disqualified as a pastor because they don't talk, they're not gentle. That's part of being a pastor, is part of being a pastor, a church leader, is being gentle. They're not gentle. Okay, whatever. So, I have that was a fascinating conference. Jonathan Kahn is an incredibly intelligent man, first of all. And has a wonderful sense of humor. He's you don't always get to see that when he's talking. He's typically rapid firing, if you ever listen to the guy, he's rapid firing stuff about what's going on in the world. And it's, what relates to what, and how things, relate to the feasts and festivals and different things that are happening and timing of things. Amazing to me that he finds this stuff, but he's very good at it. And he can answer questions on the fly very, very well. He's very good at that. Very, very realistic and very, very doesn't profess to know everything, but has a very good, I think, approach to most questions and most mysteries of life. That's not really what I want to talk about today. What I really want to talk about primarily is something I've been noticing about what's happening here among the, because I brought up last week the whole thing about the House could end up flipping Democrat before the election. Now, the danger of this is, first of all, Joaquin Jeffrey would be taking over as the Speaker of the House. As far as I know, this is the first time in my lifetime this has ever happened. I don't know if it's ever happened in the history of this country or not. It's definitely the first time it's happened in my lifetime or any time in my remembrance. I don't know of any time it happened in the 19th century, or I should say the 20th century, the 1900s, or this century. Of course, not in this century. But it's what might end up happening here is you've got Republicans bailing. Now, this serves a twofold purpose, though, and I think it's important that we realize what's going on here. You've got some Republicans who are retiring. Remember this. This happened back in 2016, after the 2016 election, I should say. In 2018, for the 2018 midterms, you had a bunch of rhinos bailing, knowing that their district was going to be probably flipped. But they didn't want to be a part of the 2018, how you want to call it, whatever you want to call it. They thought it was going to be a bloodbath, a massacre, with the Republicans being voted out because Trump was voted in, and so they were going to lose their election, so they spent all that money that they made in their campaign funding. They didn't want to spend all that and then lose, so they just retired. And and then they said, "Well, see, we lost the House." You lost the House because you're an idiot. You were an anti-Trumper. You had the opportunity to build the wall the first 2 years of President Trump's term. That just reminded me, there's another lady that I just saw this the other day. This supposedly very well-educated lady is talking about how... And she cusses the whole time through, but she's very well-educated, of course. We're supposed to believe everything she says. She says that Trump's going to take over. He's going to break open the glass and rip the Constitution up. I guess if you just rip up that piece of paper, that means that the Constitution doesn't exist. I guess that's what that means after that. If you take the Constitution, it's under glass there, because there's no pictures of it or anything. Nobody has a copy. And that supposedly we're just supposed to believe that he's gonna rip that out and rip it up and then say, he's in charge. He's now in charge. He's the dictator. I'd like to know how that's going to work. There's just so many things that are so asinine and stupid and just ridiculous. I mean, this is Trump derangement syndrome foaming at the mouth, full-blown problem that this lady has, making these kinds of statements. It's just ridiculous. I'd like to play some of this stuff. Hopefully, I will have time today. So hopefully, I've got so much to get ready for this week. But I've got because I got to get some things prepared. So I'll get that done. In the meantime, I will be trying to compile some of these audios. The one audio that I really want to play for you, there's two things. One is Karl Rove going on and on in front of apparently he didn't know anybody thought it was recording him. He had to have known he was being recorded. He's going on and on about how Trump is out of line and off his rocker, and he's going the wrong direction on the January 6th insurrectionists that are in prison. He's going to pardon them all. It's not what Trump said. Trump didn't say he was going to pardon them all. He's going to look into it, and where it's appropriate, he will give them pardons. He didn't say he was going to pardon them all. Karl Rove is putting those words in his mouth. And if you don't think that there's any misjustice right now with the January 6th insurrectionists, there are people sitting in prison, rotting in prison without a trial. Some of them, Merrick Garland bragged about the fact that there were over 1,000 people now that have been incarcerated from January 6th. Well, good for you, Merrick. Some of those people were grandmas who, before they entered, asked the Capitol Police if they could go in. They went in for about 10 minutes, walked around, took some pictures, and walked out. And they spent time in prison. You think that's justified? You think that that's You're simply making an example of these people. It's just absolutely atrocious what they're doing to these people. It's pathetic. It's just it mocks our justice system. This is what I really want to get into, though, is this whole thing with Karl Rove and how Karl Rove is going on about this whole thing and just the establishment Republicans. We lost the House in 2018 because Republicans decided to retire. They bailed on the wall. The whole reason we have a border issue right now is because of Republicans, what they did in 2018. It's the whole 6 years ago. It's what they did 6 years ago. 7 years ago. They would not work on the wall. Because the wall was racist. Now look at us now. Now the minorities in this country are screaming for a wall. They're saying this has got to stop. The border's being overrun. It's ruining them. They realize it. The inner cities are just a mess. You can thank the Republicans for that. I don't blame the Democrats. Oh, yeah, you can blame them. But I expected it from the Democrats. Oh, I didn't want to be called a racist, so I bowed out. I don't want to be called this. This is a Detroit. Oh, this guy, he's ridiculous. So you back out in 2018. You run away. Cowards. They didn't want to be seen as losers, so they had to retire with their money, campaign funds, among other reasons. Well, there's still rats in the swamp there, folks. And a lot of them are this guy up in Wisconsin who's bailing out. Oh, by the way, Officer Dunn, this just came across my desk a couple weeks ago, or last week, over the weekend. Well, I had Officer Dunn, one of these big guys. You know, the I think it was like four of them, four Capitol Police that were testifying at the J6 Commission on Select Committee. Bunch of actors, ridiculous. If these are the prime examples of Capitol Police, I'm sorry, we've got a problem with the Capitol. Of course, this guy, this one of the big guys, the one that was hurt so badly, did a good job acting. Guess what? He's running for Congress now. He's going to run for Congress. He's one of the Democrats' little pat him on the head boys. So we have that going on. Well, in the meantime, so Karl Rove comes out with all these establishment Republicans, the donor class, they call them. The rich boys in the Republican Party were trying to maintain the party standards, which is just Democrat, Republican establishment hacks. Maintain their power. That's all they want to do. You know, like this outsider coming in. Stop their money flow. So we have Karl Rove coming out and talking against Trump in this whole process. And of course, that's just, of course, they're, now we have this guy that's retired. You know, we could end up flipping, because of this whole stupid thing, we could end up flipping the House. And what they want to do, and this is their whole problem, the whole process that they're going through, is that they want to turn the House over to the Democrats with just enough time to vote. This is what the Supreme Court gave them. They gave them a little. The Supreme Court thought they were being really, really cute. Well, look, states can't rule on this stuff, but Congress can. Well, but they thought they were free and clear. They didn't interfere. They weren't interfering with an election process because the Republicans held Congress, and they figured out that's not going to happen. We'll just turn it back over to Congress. Say, oh, it's Congress's thing. Okay, so the Republicans, the establishment Republicans obviously knew what was going on. Maybe there was some wink, wink, nod, nod stuff going on. I don't know what was going on under the table there. Maybe they did have a plan when they put that in place. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they just thought they were going to get off scot-free, and then they realized, oh, shoot, now it looks like the Republicans are going to bail, which will give the Democrats a majority in the House, and they can vote And the resolution's already been drawn up, by the way. This isn't theory. This is. Is it Rassman or whatever his name? Whatever his guy's name wore a towel on his head for a while because he was trying to get sympathy. Raskin, whatever his name is. He's already got the legislation drawn up to declare or whatever they do. I don't know what they're going to call it. I'm not a doctor, or a lawyer, or a physician, or a financial counselor. But they are going to put this in place to call out Donald Trump as an insurrectionist. Now, I don't know. I think that all they have to do is put it up for a vote. They don't even have to have a trial for this, we understand it. They put it up for a vote. We are declaring today that Donald Trump is an insurrectionist. We're going to vote on it. Yep. Okay, we all agree he's an insurrectionist. It's not a trial. This is getting to the point where, you know, I'm not big on this kind of rhetoric, but I'm going to say it because it is at the point. I think we're at the line. This is at the point of punishable treason. You are trying to think about this for a second. I don't care. Take Donald Trump out of the equation. It's not about Donald Trump. There is there's a person who is potentially the American people are going to vote in as president. And the other party sees this as such a threat that they are willing to vote legislatively to take him out of that possibility. He's the other party's nominee at this point. He is the presumptive nominee. And they're going to take him out. An entire party's nominee. And you don't think that's political? You think that they only care about the country? They care about their power. And if I'm sorry, but that's against the American people's wishes. You're going against. But just let it go. Let the American people let the election play out. If this guy's so evil and so terrible, just tell us how evil it is. Present your case to the American people and let us decide. That's the way it works. That's democracy, folks. That's you. They want to be democracy. That's democracy. Mob rule. Oh, you're just a mob. Those these cultic people. It's a cult. It's a cult. Yeah, you're not a cult. It's just you guys are all lockstep voting together. And if you disobey, you get kicked out. How is that not a cult? It's just outrageous. And folks, that is treasonous. That is going against the American people. It's going against our process, our entire set of values. And yet the whole time they're claiming to have the high moral ground and they're the ones that are saving the country. It's BS. I'm sorry. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. These people are enemies of the country. They're lying and they're cheating and they're stealing and blaming the other side for doing what they are actually doing. And these establishment Republicans are going right along with it because they're part of their little game. They're part of their little money flow. All the dark underbelly of our nation's capital is fully enraged at this point because they're going to be exposed. They're going to suffer through this process. And they're more willing to let the Congress go to the Democrats So Joe Biden can win? Which I don't, that's not going to be the process. That's not going to be the problem anyway. All the focus is still on the Joe Biden thing. And everybody's, oh, look at how he's losing in the polls. Oh, look, Joe, oh, this is a fake. This is a fake out, folks. This is a psych out. This is a feign. There's two theories here. One is, in my opinion, the Democrats have to be insane to think that Joe Biden's going to win in November against Donald Trump. And they're insane if they let this continue. Now, at the same time, there's any number of plans that they could have behind the scenes. And I've just heard somebody the other day say that, you know, well, once he makes it to the convention, this one guy was saying in August, he thinks that they're going to have to replace Joe Biden before August, before the convention, because they're going because they would have to run the whole process over again if he goes through the convention. That's not the way it works. I don't think you understand the rules within the Democratic convention. All they have to do is have the superdelegates decide who's going to be. That's the superdelegates run the whole thing. That's the way it works now on their side. Their rules are such that all they have to do is get the delegates together. And of course, the superdelegates control all that. The superdelegates, doesn't matter what, if they can be, they can go against everything. This is a Democrat party, right? You know, the Democratic Party, they call themselves. And they have superdelegates that can decide everything. The regular delegates don't have enough power. So it's a handful of people controlling what everybody else is going to be able to do. They will decide. They will put somebody in power because they're the ones who decide. They don't have to run another primary. They just have to change the convention. Or just have to have another delegate convention, which will be a small event. It's not going to be a national thing. It's just going to be delegates get together in a room, in a hotel somewhere, make a decision. The 10 people who make the decisions are going to throw their decisions in there, and they're going to be done. We can put anybody they want to in there. And that's where we're headed at this point. And that way they get around the whole Kamala Harris problem. And because you can't say, well, Kamala Harris has to be the VP. No, it's not the MVP, and she doesn't have to be the nominee either if they take Joe out, if Joe steps down. The president gets to pick his VP, or the nominee gets to pick their VP. The national committee does not get to pick that. They only pick the nominee. They can't pick the VP. That's part of it. That's the first person in his cabinet. His or her. It's going to get crazy. It's going to be absolutely, absolutely, absolutely crazy. The next couple months, they're going to continue to spend effort, resources, and money on Joe Biden. That will be wasted. They're going to pull him back. Next thing you know, somebody else will be there. No time to vet the person. No time to figure out what's going on. And they're going to try to punch back with somebody that they think can win back all these people who are like people like The Rock, Wayne, whatever his name is. He's bowing out. He's not gonna endorse anybody this year. Like he did last time. Craziness, folks. It is crazy people. Crazy wacky stuff going on. And the one good thing about this, if we pull this off, is that it's flushing out a lot of the rhinos, the establishment people. Which is good. That's a good thing. But this is coming down to the wire. This is coming down to the line here. If for some reason we lose the House between now and August, or November, I should say. And that's some of these people's plans. The Republicans are willing to do that. They'll fall on their sword. We'll see what happens. But I'm convinced that something between now and November And of course, now there, you know, there's the other side of this whole thing. If Donald Trump does win in November, which I believe he will, I believe Donald Trump's going to be our next president. That's what I believe. However, that's may not be the case. There's a lot of time between November and January when he gets sworn in. They have a lot of time to set traps for. They've already set traps for him already in terms of negotiation with the whole Ukraine issue, things that are happening there, things that are happening in Gaza with Netanyahu funding, all those things. They have basically strapped him from being able to negotiate in good faith in many ways, which is very disconcerting. It's all because they hate this guy. They're destroying themselves over this whole thing. Stop and think about it. What really is the problem here? What? Oh, he's going to get us into. No, stop it. He's going to get us a nuclear war. He's going to bankrupt stick. No, what track record do you have on? Well, he's going to kill us all. Can you really take a step back, just objectively look at? You think this guy really hates this country that much? The people who hate this country are you guys. The DTS people. Or TDS people. It's amazing to me. Just amazing to me. I'd like to be able to play some audio clips. Hopefully I can put some of this stuff together this week. It's just going to be very busy the next couple weeks, so it's going to be hard to tell what's going to happen. So in the meantime, we'll do our best to continue on our knees. I'll continue my ranting. And I'm going to have to find some different chai. I'll have to use this for something. Maybe it shakes out of it or something. That's not too bad with ice cream in it. In the meantime, folks, thank you for listening. Again, it is imperative, I think, as we come down to the wire. I think this is going to be a very slim. There's so many attacks coming against Trump. And it is only going to be by the grace and mercy of God that we have an election that is fair and free and properly executed and done properly. I don't know. It's got to be overwhelming. Everybody has to vote overwhelmingly for. You know, this has to be a high turnout year. Has to be a high turnout. And we got to keep an eye on what's going on. God bless, folks. Continue to pray for our nation. Pray for each other. Have a wonderful week. Thank you for listening. God bless.